Trust accounting is one of those silent killers of law firm growth. Done right, it protects cash flow, your reputation, your license, but done wrong, it creates audits and major headaches. On this episode, we're demystifying client trust accounts with a seasoned legal bookkeeper who lives in the world of trust accounts, reconciliations, and compliance. We'd like to introduce you to Brandy Derrick, founder of Legal Ease Bookkeeping, whose company is focused exclusively on providing expert bookkeeping services for law firms. Brandy's also a QuickBooks Pro Advisor and the author of 6 Bookkeeping Mistakes Costing Attorneys Money and How to Avoid Them. Here comes Lucene and Brandy now. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Law Firm Growth Lab, the science of scaling your practice. 3, 2, 1, action.
All right, looks like we got everything going. Clayton, well done. Lucene, Brandy, excited to have you in the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having us, Scott and the team. Greatly appreciate it. And Brandy, it's nice to see you here today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I'm really excited about it, and I'm excited to work with the law firms that work with you too. And Scott, thank you for helping me with my website and ad campaign.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's been fun.
So we have Brandy here today to talk about accounting, finance, trust accounting. And if you're here to learn and ready to protect your license, your cash flow, and protect your peace of mind, let's dive in.
So Brandy, you provide bookkeeping and related services for well over 100 different law firms around the US, right? So trust accounting is often misunderstood. Can you walk us through something that's as fundamental, let's start with that, as kind of the proper way to do three-way reconciliation, what that looks like, and then maybe some red flags that you catch when you do it?
Yeah, I'd love to. So when you're doing a three-way reconciliation, there's 3 parts to it. One is your bank account. That bank balance needs to match your accounting software's balance. So that's the second part. And then the third part is that the trust ledger, the listing of all of the clients and their balances, that needs to also tie to that number. Now, it can be off a little bit if there's checks that haven't cleared the bank account yet. So the bank balance might not show it, but it's going to be on your trust ledger already. But other than that, those numbers need to match. And so some red flags are, one, the numbers don't match. Two, that there's a negative trust balance. If a client has a negative trust balance, that's a red flag. Three, in the accounting softwares, you can sometimes classify things without putting it to a particular matter, or you can put it on the wrong matter. Mm-hmm. So looking for that. And then if there's things that should have been transferred to the operating account that have been earned and are not moved over yet, that's another red flag.
It's very interesting. A lot of law firms struggle with having someone internally actually transfer funds and track the process. How do you handle it with your clients, and what type of support do you provide?
So we're in their books once a week, and at least once a week, depending on the client, entering in their trust transactions and making sure that what's recorded or what's clearing the bank is what's recorded in their case or practice management software. Mm-hmm. And if we find anything that's not right, it's not recorded properly or not recorded at all, then we're alerting the customer of this and making sure that it's recorded. And then at the end of the month, we do the three-way reconciliation, which if we find other errors at that point, then again, we're alerting the customer, hey, this needs to get fixed. And for some of our clients, we do the fixing for them, and some of them, they do the fixing themselves.
That's awesome. And is it monthly checking, weekly? How often do you check on the bank accounts and the CRM as well?
Yeah, we're in everybody's books at least once a week.
Okay.
I really feel like once a week is the minimum that people should be in the books, just to make sure that you're staying on top of everything. Mm-hmm. And also, then if we have questions on things, it's easier for the customer to tell us the answer. Mm-hmm. They tend to remember more if it's within a week. But so I'd say at least once a week. And if it's a solo practitioner or a very small law firm, that's probably fine. If it's, you know, a $10 million plus dollar business, a high volume immigration firm, you probably need to be in the books more often just to make sure you're staying on top of it.
Sure. And certain law firms are multi-location firms, and they have offices in various states, especially the ones that handle matters that are federal in nature, practice federal law. How do you coach them on trust accounts? Because various states have various ethical rules around trust accounts.
Yes, we try to take the state that has the hardest rules or the more the most strict rules, okay, and implement that as the process for the whole entire firm or for all of them. And some clients are going to have multiple trust accounts, one for each state. Okay. It's pretty common in states, in areas like DC, where they're going to have a Virginia one and a DC one and a Maryland one. They might have individual trust accounts for those, and they have to keep those separate because if they're clients from those states, they need to be stayed in that state. But for internal processes, we want to just follow we want to follow one process, and we want it to be the strictest one.
Yeah, sure. And the lawyer doesn't necessarily need to be licensed in every single state if they practice federal law, right, but they need to be in compliance with those states.
Right.
So, Brandy, you mentioned that from time to time firms will accidentally commingle funds. How do you guys bulletproof against that on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, we want to help set up processes for the law firm so that way this doesn't occur. And what happens is that sometimes they'll wrongly deposit funds into the operating account when they should have been in the trust account, or they'll have credit card fees that are being taken out of the trust account, which is a no-no. It's against the IOLTA rules or the Bar Association rules. And so we try to help them implement processes so that way that doesn't occur in the future.
One of the things that I've been recommending is, in addition to having a trust account, an operating account, to have another account for filing fees. So that kind of insurance ensures that there will be no commingling of funds. I know some practitioners assume or think that it's okay to deposit the filing fees into the trust account. And maybe it is okay, maybe not, but the cleanest way to avoid the commingling of the funds is to have separate accounts. There are really no rules around how many accounts you can have as long as everything is separate.
Yeah, I love that idea, because the filing fees is often where we'll see clients go negative in the trust account because they're not correctly accounting for it. And so if they get the check from the customer, they deposit the whole thing into the trust account and then move over the amount for the filing fees to the filing fee account and then the earned fees over to their operating account. I love that.
Yeah, yeah. It also helps. It's easier on the operations as well.
Yes, yeah.
So, Brandy, do you have a rule for moving money from trust accounts to operating accounts and so that it's always earned before it's moved?
Yeah, we try to make sure that the attorney has said these fees are earned. We've made an invoice. The attorney has approved the invoice. And then we apply trust funds to the invoice. And then we send that over to the customer. For most of our customers, we are not actually transferring the funds for them. That's their responsibility to do that. And so then there's that final check of them making sure that what we've provided to them is here's your list of transactions to transfer, and they're double checking it too.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been working with in the CRM that's called My Case, and it's been really easy to transfer funds as the staff, attorneys and paralegals, changed the stage, the case stage, and then it shows the percentage of work completed, and it's easy math from that point forward when it comes to transferring funds. So we try to make it as easy as possible in accounting. So
yeah, My Case makes it really easy. Yeah. And then you can even run a report that says, hey, here's a list of all the people that we need to transfer funds from. And then you go to the bank and actually move the money.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
So let's talk about merchant accounts for just a minute, because a lot of law firms do accept credit cards, ACH, e-checks. For their retainers. How do you configure the merchant accounts so that processing fees and chargebacks never hit the trust account?
Yeah, that's super important. Mm-hmm. And a lot of attorneys use either LawPay or Confido, which used to be called Gravity Legal. But both of those two merchant processors, they follow the Bar Association rules. Where you get into trouble is if you start using Square or QuickBooks or something else, they are going to take the credit card processing fees out of the IOLTA account, which is a big no-no. So if a customer comes to us and they're not using LawPay or Gravity Legal, then we strongly recommend that they switch over to it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they are breaking their rules.
Mm-hmm. So on that topic, some states prohibit charging the merchant fees, right? Credit card mm-hmm. fees. How do you handle that?
So if a customer wants to charge more, then they could do things like have an admin fee that would cover it. Gravity Legal / Confido, their name is Confido now, they will pass along the merchant processing fees to the customers in the states where it is legal to do that. So that happens automatically, which is super nice. But otherwise, I would say having an admin fee is the best way to get around that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been doing the same, recommending the same. And in terms of filing fees, I think it's a good idea to charge a convenience fee instead of a credit card fee, because at the end of the day, it is a convenience. And we're not passing it along, but we're letting them know. And I think that's totally legal.
Yes, right? Yeah. Yes.
So, Brandy, you mentioned to me earlier about your trust compliance packets. What's actually in that monthly trust compliance packet that you have the managing partner sign off on?
Yeah, so we have a couple of different things. The first thing is I provide the bank statements. So we download that from the bank, and that's there. Then we get our reconciliation report. All of our customers are on QuickBooks Online, so we'll print the reconciliation report from QuickBooks Online. And then the third piece is going to be the trust ledger report that we will pull from their CRM. So like from my case, we'll pull the trust ledger report showing that all the balances match. And then oftentimes they don't match because there's a check that hasn't cleared the bank yet. So then we'll have another page that's here's the reasons why this doesn't match, and they're all like valid reasons why that it didn't match. Or if there was something that was wrong, then we write down like, hey, this was wrong, and we've got it transferred now, so it's fixed now.
Yeah, because some banks take 5 to 7 days to process sometimes, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How often do you suggest that the firm keeps each record?
Every month. They should be. Not all bar associations require a three-way reconciliation done every single month, but that's our policy. I think that's like the strictest one, and so that's what we do is the strictest policy. But they should be keeping the packet every month and keeping it in their records so that way they can provide that. I mean, some states require extra documentation where they have to send it into their bar association regularly, but for their peace of mind, I would definitely keep a packet every single month.
Brandy, tell our listeners a little bit about your firm before we dive into additional questions.
Yeah, so it's Legal Ease Bookkeeping. Mm-hmm. We started almost 10 years ago. In May, it'll be 10 years. And we work with only law firms all around the United States. We are in about 30 different states now, and I have 10 employees. But we focus on trust compliance mostly, and then invoicing, payroll, checks, like when case disbursements needs to happen, we can help with that, and just staying on top of people's finances for them.
It's going to be 10 years for LT Global as well.
Oh,
this year.
Yes, very cool.
Actually, no, hold on. I think I messed up. It's next year.
It's 10 years for MarketCrest too.
Oh, my goodness. Oh! That's next year.
Yeah, so, hey, Brandy, very cool branding with the Legal Ease Bookkeeping. So tell us about that.
Yeah, when I opened my bookkeeping firm, I wanted to specialize in doing law firm bookkeeping. And in my mind, I was thinking, I want to make it easy. I have a lot of friends who are attorneys and they don't own their own firms, but their compensation is constantly getting messed up because the person in charge of it can't figure out how to do it. And I'm like, this stuff is easy. I know how to do this. I can make it easy for you. And I love the legal ease, but we changed the spelling of it. So it's legal and ease as opposed to legal ease. But
the value of making things easier for people is tremendous. Especially, I always say we go to law school not to deal with numbers, but without that, you really kind of stuck as a business. So to have someone like yourself that will say, you know what, I'll wear this hat and I'll make it easy on you, is very, very special.
Let's talk about negative client balances, right? So obviously an issue. More people have this issue than probably are willing to admit. How do you guys catch it before it actually happens? I don't know. Can you even do that in every case, right? What's that like?
Yeah, it's sort of hard to catch it before it happens. And the thing is that we're all humans. We make mistakes. And so our process is that we're checking it every single week to make sure that if a mistake has been made, it's caught and fixed immediately. And sometimes this happens because something was written to the wrong customer, and then they thought that they had money in their trust account, and now they're moving money over, but then we figure out that it was wrongly recorded, which can cost the attorney money. Because if they've gone now and spent that money, or they told the client that you have $5,000 when they really have zero, now that customer's upset when you come back to them and be like, oh, just joking, you don't really have $5,000. So we try to make sure we're staying on top of that because we know it's very sensitive and it needs to be fixed immediately.
And I think I find that the firms that experience that, they really don't operate in the CRM. Their systems are siloed. It's when they do accounting in one system and notes are in another and stages are in third, or they're all over in Excel spreadsheets. So having it all in one system really, really helps.
Yeah, and you mentioned Excel spreadsheets. I think that's where a lot of errors occur is when they don't even have an accounting system or a CRM, then they're handwriting everything in there. They're making more mistakes than when it's the computer telling them this is the dollar amount that got deposited.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's fix it.
So, Brandy, what's your checklist before dispersing settlement funds, right? Especially to make sure that deposits have cleared and any liens or third-party interest are protected?
Yeah, we've had a couple of clients who got a settlement disbursement and then the check bounced and they'd already dispersed all the funds. So it's very, very important that you wait until the check has cleared the bank if they're receiving a check. If it's an ACH or a wire, the funds are there immediately. So that's not as much of a concern. But you want to make sure that it's available in your bank balance to be dispersed. And then you have to double check all of the liens, the medical payments, everything that is getting paid out on behalf of the customer. You want to make sure that those balances are all accurate. What you don't want to have happen is that you've forgotten to include something, or that the amount that you paid was lower than what you really should have been paid. So you need to check all of those. And then you could do the calculations of how much is owed to the client on what's left over.
Okay, I have a question there. Does your firm participate in that process, going through the laundry list, or that's something that the firm will solely be responsible for?
Yeah, we help them. When we're doing their books weekly, we are checking the case expenses and making sure that we have them categorized correctly with the correct clients, and making sure that they're recorded in their CRM software. So then that way, when it comes time for settlement, everything is listed.
Okay.
You would hate to have something not listed. And then for some of our clients, we make settlement disbursement sheets for them.
Okay.
And then we also help with sending out the checks to the people that need checks get sent to them.
That's a lot of help.
Yeah.
Especially that's for personal injury firms.
Right.
So, yeah.
We mentioned earlier about practicing in multiple states. If a firm does practice in multiple states, how in the world do you keep everything straight, like approved banks and certification requirements and reconciliation cadences that might be different from state to state?
Yeah, we try to go with whatever is the strictest, but sometimes there are rules that they're against each other. Like one state has different rules than another state, and they're not the same. So you can't always implement the same for every process, or for every state. But we just try to use whatever is the strictest, unless there's that instance. But that's pretty rare.
Yeah.
And we have internally a list of all of the bar association rules that pertain to record keeping, mm-hmm. Or bookkeeping for that state. And we have a checklist for ourselves to follow them.
I understand that every firm eventually has stale checks or like mystery balances in the trust account.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that your team has a step-by-step process to research owners and perform due diligence. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So when somebody comes to us, almost always there's weird stuff in their trust account that we need to go and figure out. And sometimes it's impossible. They transferred funds and they don't know what customer it's for, and we don't know what customer it's for. So we try to figure out as best as possible as what we can. If there's check images that we can look at, if they on the bank account, if they listed who they transferred the funds for, then we can go and look at that. If there's Excel documentation, but if it is impossible for anyone to figure out, then we try to leave it in the trust account and until we figure out, oh, it really belonged to this customer. Now, checks that get written to customers that don't ever clear the bank, we check that every single month when we're doing our bank reconciliation. After 2 months, we were alerting the customer, like, hey, there's this old check. It hasn't cleared yet. Do we need to reissue it? Void it? What needs to happen here? And then if it gets beyond that, if it's beyond 6 months, the banks are technically no longer supposed to cash those checks.
Mm-hmm.
So we try really hard to get a hold of the customer. We don't actually do it. We try to get the attorney to get a hold of the customer. If they can't get a hold of the customer, then they're supposed to send it back to the state. Mm-hmm. And it depends on where at the state, but they all have some department that you're supposed to send unclaimed funds to. And that's where that needs to go and get out of your IOLTA account.
Mm-hmm. So if the firm hasn't reconciled their trust accounts for months, what are the steps that you would recommend them taking?
Yeah, the first thing is that they should reconcile the accounts. Probably they haven't been reconciled because there's something that's not right. Mm-hmm. And so you have to figure out what isn't right. But we start with the oldest reconciliation and move forward. But what we want to do is we want to make sure that we're starting with good balances at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So first, you go back to where it's been reconciled, or if it's never been reconciled, you just go back to the beginning. And we look at every single transaction and go, do we know, are all these balances correct? Given that they're correct, great. Now we have a starting point that we can move forward from, and then we can reconcile the next month and the next month and do the three-way reconciliation. We've gone back up to 7 years on clients doing their reconciliation for each month and making sure that what is recorded is accurate on a per customer basis.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Brandy, so here comes our hot seat question.
Oh gosh.
All right, so out of all the controls that you can put in place, like give us three of the top controls that you can put in place that'll lower the risk for a law firm.
Okay, the first is that you should be reconciling your bank accounts every single month, doing the three-way reconciliation. The second thing is that you should, any money that's getting transferred out of the trust account needs to have approval from the managing partner of the firm. And then third is on any vendor check that is going out, any money that's coming out of the account that's not going to your firm, especially, you should have two different people looking at that. If it's the person that's writing the checks, then somebody else needs to be signing the checks. Fraudulent vendors are the number one way that money is stolen from companies.
Mm-hmm.
And people, they don't want to do it because it's like it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
But just having the partner double check every single check that's going out and making sure that it's accurate is super important.
Yeah. And having checks and balances in place, it's the king, right? So you want to have two people at least checking after each other.
Yes.
Very important.
Okay. So those three, follow-up question, you just gave three of the biggest impacts. Are those the hardest things to do, or are those relatively quick for someone to implement?
They're really easy. Some of it takes a little bit of time, but if you hire a bookkeeper like myself, it makes it even easier for you to do it. But the sleeping at night, knowing that you're not going to get disbarred because you stole money out of the trust account by accident, is super important.
I always say, do what you know how to do well and outsource what you don't know. And save yourself a headache later, because we're not supposed to know everything. So hire professionals that know what to do with certain aspects of the business.
Yeah. I always say, like, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know how to practice the law. Mm-hmm. That's your job. Mm-hmm. This is my job.
Yep. Brandy, thank you so much. We know this is a big issue for law firms. I mean, Lucene and I rarely ever talk to a founder where we don't stumble across that they're struggling in one aspect of their bookkeeping. It's been an honor to have you here. I think that our law firm founders are gonna love the suggestions that you made and the clarification. Lucene, our very frequent collaborator at LT Global, thank you for joining us. Your many years in this business is proven valuable every single month. Thank you. And so for our viewers, if you need help fast, we want you to just request a short free consult with Brandy Derrick of Legal Ease Bookkeeping. And that's the website, Legal Ease, as in easy, bookkeeping.com. Phone number 469-751-2150. I'm Scott Berry for the Law Firm Growth Lab podcast, which is often tailored specifically for family and immigration law firms, but as you can see from today, it applies beyond those two practice areas as well. If this episode helped you, follow the show, leave a quick rating, and share it with one of your co-founder friends who needs to see it.